Hey guys, it's DJ Gaines here. DJ Beefcake. I'm here with DJ Gaines in the studio. She just had a great show from 2 to 3. I hope you guys all tuned in. I'm here today with you for DJ Beefcake. That's me. Where's the beef? Talking to you about all things beefy, current, and hot news. For those of you last week who missed my radio show, I talked about some of the current things happening, like the combination of Spotify and Tinder, where you can combine your music interest with your potential matches to find maybe true love. That probably won't work out, though, just my opinion. The other thing I talked to you guys about was the breakup and divorce of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Now, the couple just announced their divorce last week, and they are not on good terms, that is reported. Brad is currently under two allegations. The first one is the classic cheating rumor. There are no confirmations, or he hasn't denied this yet, but it's still a rumor out there. The second allegation is that Brad is currently in the middle of a child abuse investigation in California by Child Protective Services. What's going to happen is a judge or an investigator is going to talk to each of the kids to see what the situation is in the household, what their opinions are, how they feel, which parent they would want to live with, etc. So that's currently happening right now. The kids haven't seen Brad, or he hasn't seen them, since Angelina Jolie announced the divorce. The couple released a statement that to the public that they're hoping to resolve it amicably, as we do as well, because they were one of our favorite couples. So I hope this works out good for them. And so that was a quick overview of last week. In other news, the biggest event that is happening in our country as of today, or as of yesterday, I should say, is that we have a national presidential debate that happened yesterday night. More than 100 million people across the nation were watching this debate. Over the past five elections I've been alive for, I haven't paid much attention to the debates or anything really, but now this is the first debate I can actually vote in, so I'm paying a lot more attention to that. And just a little side note, there was today at CalRega, there was voting registration for students, faculty, just to make sure they registered to vote, and if they already registered, just to double check that they registered. The deadline to register is October 26th, and if you want to register, you can go to dominican.turbovote.org, and you can register there. Make sure you do that, guys. It's super important. Okay, so watching the debate last night, I didn't actually get to watch it live because we had a volleyball game. Last night, the Penguins took on the BYU Seasiders, thank you, and also we won, yay. So when I came back last night to do some research on this, I found it very interesting that these two candidates, like campaigns, haven't been defined by the questions about their policy, etc., just more about their ethics, was more about like the questions, what they were going back and forth. ABC News stated that the fewer than half, 45%, see Trump as honest and trustworthy, but it goes lower to 36% with Clinton. And so I took away from that the majority of Americans do not see either candidate as trustworthy. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because this campaign has been more about just smearing the other candidate as opposed to policies and whatnot. I think that it had something to do with the scandals that surround each campaign. So I'm just going to break those down for you. The first scandal I'm going to be talking about are the Clinton scandals. And she has two prominent scandals that I'm going to be talking to you about today. Her first one is her email scandal. And she has, so what happened was there was a private email that she had and a private server. She had all of this on one single device. She said one BlackBerry. And instead of having a separate device, like carrying around two BlackBerries, she had it all on one. And this was a problem because she mentioned classified information and things among this email account. And the FBI found that 113 statements in her emails that contained classified information. So as a voter, I look at this and I think, wow, that's extremely careless of our president or our, one of our potential future presidents to be so careless with such classified information. So she didn't technically break any laws. Someone described it as it's not good, but it's not as bad as it looks. But still, that's not something we want to see from a future candidate. The other scandal that she had was her family's charitable foundation. And the controversy on this was not what they did with their money. It's the possible conflict of interest in taking the donations from individual and foreign government with businesses before the State Department. Hillary Clinton had an agreement with the Obama administration to determine that they would disclose all donations and they would get approved all donations from different countries. And so the scandal here was that Russia gave a donation through a different name in Canada. Technically, this kind of broke the contract, but not really, because Russia went through Canada Enterprise. And so this didn't technically break the law, but it broke the spirit of the contract, which is, again, kind of shady and not something we want to see from our candidate. All right, on the other hand, we have Trump's scandals. His go on and on and on, from what he says to Twitter, on things that he says on Twitter, to just all of his business dealings. He is the first candidate since 1980 to not release his tax returns. His reason was that he was being audited by the IRS, and so that's why he couldn't release his tax returns. But the thing is, you can release your tax returns. It's completely two unrelated things. It's like saying, hey, sorry, I can't pick you up on Tuesday, like in this September, from the airport, but my birthday's on March 25th. It's two completely unrelated things that don't make any sense. On top of that, he also had questionable business dealings that have many unanswered questions. Many experts have pointed out his investments, debts, business ties, etc., span the globe and could present many challenges. His own deal, typically what would happen is if a president had his own company or whatnot, he would put it into a blind trust, so he would have no access to, so that wouldn't affect his integrity as president. What Trump, when he was asked what he would do with his company, he said he would pass it down to his kids into a blind trust. First of all, that's not really a blind trust, because those are his kids. Second of all, it also points out that he doesn't even know what a blind trust is. And so his son went on a talk show explaining, like, oh, we would have no dealings with our father based on his company. But that's pretty hard for me to believe that you wouldn't, at least, you're going to communicate with your father, like, you're not going to get I get my dad's advice on everything. So I kind of find it hard to believe that you wouldn't get your dad's advice on his own company that you're taking over. That was just kind of weird for me. His other questionable scandal was his charitable foundation. So Trump reportedly used his money as charitable foundations, people are donating money to give to charitable causes. And we expect the people who are paying money expect that these causes are going to be put to a good use. Even the hats that say Make America Great Again are supposed to be going to a charitable fund. The scandal here is that these funds are being used as a tool to make legal disputes go away. So all of his legal disputes and his other businesses, that's where this money is going. And that's why this is probably a very big scandal, because that's so unethical of him. My point is that this campaign has been dominated by mostly scandals, and it's been going back and forth who can smear each other, like who can do their worst to each other. And for me, this is my first time actually paying attention and looking into the debate. I find myself looking at more of the scandals, and I guess see it's more reported on the news as opposed to the actual ethics and the actual like policies of the people. I know little about that, but I can tell you so much about all these scandals that are happening. So in comparison, another point I wanted to say. According to PolitiFact, which is a website that fact checks what the candidates say in speeches just to get the accuracy, and they'll tell you why or why it's not true, they found the statistic that Clinton's statements were 13% flatly false, which is okay. We all make mistakes. We're all human. I get that. But then Trump's was 53%. In my mind, that's going a little bit past, oh, we're all human. We all make mistakes. That's literally half of what you're saying is a lie, which is crazy to me. So in comparison also, Donald Trump's scandals far, far, far outweigh Hillary's, which is so interesting to me because in the beginning, I mentioned that ABC News stated that 45% see Trump as more trustworthy and 36% see Clinton as trustworthy. So Trump has a majority, and I was wondering why this is. Why do people think Trump is more transparent, like more honest? And I came to the conclusion that it's because he is so ridiculously honest to a point that's absurd, and people just think he is the most transparent person ever. He says the most ridiculous things that probably nobody should say, and because Hillary isn't doing that, I think people might perceive her as dishonest, even though she's not being outrageously honest like he is. It's one of the biggest things is I think it's important to look at these ethical failings. It's important to look at the policies, but it's also important to look at these as not scandals, but ethical failings, because both of these candidates, it speaks to their like who they are, and I think it'll speak to what they do as president. And with that, we are going to go on our first break. When we come back, we will be talking about the debate, more specifically the things around the debate, the things that were reported most on, a couple different ways about how gender affected it and other just things that people did surrounding the debate. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Beefcake Live on Tuesdays, 3 to 4. Thanks for tuning in. We're going on our first break.
Just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city and I broke down crying. 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar. No, I can't stop. So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't you. I forget just why I left you. I was insane. Stay and play that Blink 182 song that we beat to death in Tucson. Okay. Seat of your Rover.
guys, we're back off break. I'm here in the studio with DJ Gaines joining me right now. DJ Gaines just had her show from 2 to 3, and she's kind enough to join me to discuss this debate a little bit more in depth. How you doing, DJ Gaines?
I'm doing great, DJ Beefcake. Thank you for letting me join your show this afternoon.
Of course, I love to have you here. Okay, so since we are on the volleyball team together, and we won last night, woohoo, Scopangs, we couldn't watch the debate live, but we did get a chance to look at some of the media and reports surrounding it. And so one of the first things that I looked at when I was doing my research, I looked on the Facebook trending site, and the first thing that popped up on the Facebook trending site was like what people are talking about wasn't the debate itself. It actually was about Melania Trump's dress and how it was
Melania
Trump's dress. Well, that's weird. Okay. And so she was wearing apparently a black dress that had shoulders showing. And
this dress was absolutely stunning. I must say, yeah. It was pretty sexy for a presidential debate. It was off the shoulder black. So
yeah, it was beautiful. I'm not going to lie, but I was very surprised with that was the top thing that was trending on Twitter. It wasn't the debate. It wasn't any policies or like what happened in the debate. It was literally about her dress and how she looked.
Yeah, it's funny that that's how non-seriously they're taking this debate, that one of the trending topics is Donald Trump's wife's dress.
Yeah, I know.
That's ridiculous.
It is. And it goes off of how ridiculous of what the media is choosing to focus on with the reports of this whole campaign. Along with that, there was also a Twitter trend, I don't know if you saw this, about Hillary Clinton smiling too much. They said she looked like she was smiling at her granddaughter's birthday or something. There was just all these tweets making fun of her. And I'm not exactly sure why, because she doesn't smile at all. She gets criticized. She smiles too much. She gets criticized again. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
It relates back to when there was that whole debate of Hillary Clinton coughing too much.
Yeah.
And how she coughed during every public scene she was at. And they're like, how are we supposed to elect her? She's dying out here because she kept coughing so much. And it's kind of another twist on that almost, where she's just faking it so much. She's just smiling at the most random, ridiculous things. There was a video I saw on Twitter where someone said, Hillary Clinton for prison, not president. And she smiled and laughed and said, yeah.
For prison?
For prison, because it said president. And so that was funny that is kind of evidence that she just smiles way too much and is smiling at everything. Hillary Clinton for president, or for prison. Yeah. that's pretty funny to me.
That is funny. And I also saw like a bunch of taglines that she, I don't know just how she was not, just like Hillary Clinton, and it like referred her to as like Satan, like all these like crazy like things that are just memes that like are on Twitter about her facial expressions. And it's just another thing, like Donald Trump doesn't smile at all in his speeches, but he's not being criticized because I personally think it's because he's a man. But if she's a woman and she doesn't smile, it's because she's cold-hearted and all this. But because Donald Trump doesn't smile, he's strong, man. Like, there's just such a double standard.
Yeah,
there.
I feel like she's smiling extra to try and come off as softer, because I feel in this presidential election she's been so perceived as so shady, and so now she's trying to be extra friendly and smiley, and I think it's kind of coming off as over the top too much.
Yeah, that's another thing I mentioned, is that Donald, well, she's smiling too much, but Donald, I just completely forgot my point. It was something to do with how Donald, what did you just say?
I said how Hillary Clinton is trying to like overcompensate for the fact that before people were calling her shady, and so now she's trying to be extra friendly and smiling.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So because I said something about how because Donald is so transparent and so absurd with his, the things he says on Twitter, the things he says right to her face, it seems like she's not being as upfront as he is, based on because she's not being as absurd as him. So I think people are just assuming that she's not as like forthcoming as he is.
I agree.
Yeah. The next thing also that plays like another gender role and like other examples of this debate is how many times he interrupted her. I think he interrupted her 55 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, 1 minute per, like, every 1 minute he would interrupt her or something, and he would, which is another, like, appears condescending to many viewers, and it just appears that he's talking over her and she can't get a word in edgewise, and I think viewers took that as, like, a gender power play.
Yeah, I agree, and that's just a lack of respect for your... Obviously, there's this year, it's insane how much these two presidential candidates are bashing on each other, and that's why I think this election is insane, the lack of disrespect they have for each other. But I feel that's immature on Donald Trump's part to be interrupting her that, especially 55 times. That's amazing. That's absurd, I believe.
Yeah, I also want to comment on just the fact that you're 17, correct?
I am.
That's crazy. Like, when I was 17, I did not know anything about the like, I didn't look into like debates at all, but now, like, the fact that you know, like, this stuff and you're involved in it and you're aware of it because it's just so
blowing up on social media. This is the most blown up presidential election of all time, especially with social media, and I think the youth are getting involved a lot more for this, especially with these advances in technology. It's now easier than ever to vote and to get information on this debate because it's everywhere, and since it's so hyped up, it's all over social media, Twitter, Instagram, so you kind of can't not tune into it.
That's crazy. And I think this is one of the most prominent years that the youth can and should be involved, because it's all over the media, it's all over social networks, it's all over anywhere that like young people are looking. I think that's why it's so important for us to look at that as, like, the youth should vote. And also, another side note, if you haven't voted yet, you can still vote by going to dominican.turbovote.org. Just another side note, if you haven't registered to vote yet. Another point I want to point out, the last thing I really want to just add in there about the interruptions really quickly is that Hillary didn't interrupt Donald once, and he interrupted her a bunch of times. I think that's very telling about her character and her patience and just her composure as opposed to him. I think she also made a statement about something about, I want to get the wording right, it's a man who can be probed by a tweet is not a man we should put in charge of nuclear weapons. And I thought that was such a good telling of, like, how, like, his character, how he gets so angry and defensive at the littlest things and how he shouldn't be running our country. I think that was so interesting and good of her to say that. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is how, yes, the youth is way more involved. And in fact, in this debate, for the first presidential debate, there was actually a drinking game around it, which I thought was a very funny idea. I'm going to read to you guys the rules. Okay, so the rules were: drink every time Trump, number one, mentions the wall, number two, claims Mexico is going to pay for it, number three, says make America great again, number four, uses the phrase, believe me. Number five, says China. Number six, says I was treated very unfairly. And he definitely said a lot of those. Okay, so for Hillary, drink every time Hillary. Number one, coughs. Number two, takes a sip of water. And that was the thing you were saying about
the coughing.
The coughing.
Because she had some pneumonia, actually.
Oh, no.
It came out, and everyone's like, oh, dear, we can't. It's so bad to vote for a president with poor health. She's going to die in office.
Isn't that crazy how they could take the smallest thing and just turn it into, oh, my God, she has a cough. She's going to die. She can't run our country.
Like, yeah, it was funny. There was actually some other political guy who was talking crap on how she was coughing so much. And as he was going in his rant about how she should be in great health, he started having a coughing attack. And I thought it was the funniest thing.
So funny. That's so ironic. All right. And then number three for a drink every time Hillary forces laughter. I think that was kind of evident when she was trying to smile a lot last night. I think that's just a tactic on her part, just to try to appear more friendly to viewers, because it is hard, because as a woman, whether people realize it or not, she is facing, like, gender discrimination. Okay, number four says my daughter Chelsea. Number five mentions President Obama. Number six says stronger together. Number seven, lies. and so if you pass out before Hillary does, you lose. That was the game. That was the game that many people played across the country last night. And I think it's very telling that this game, I think, was created, my guess would be, by the younger people, younger generation.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
So in my mind, I know that a bunch of younger people were definitely playing this game.
It's just, they're taking it almost as a joke. And
exactly.
That just shows how ridiculous this election is. And there's even tweets where people are like, every time someone lies, take a shot. Good news, we'll all be dead, and that solves our problem for president like, in the future. It's just, people would rather be dead than have these presidents, and that's very saying of our culture at this time for the youth.
Yeah. Also, I know that last night, while we were at our game, we also, there was a, in the student union at Dominican in Building Fanjo, there was a live viewing for the debate put on by BSU. So I thought that was super cool, and I definitely would have been there if we didn't have our game. And just to show that we were young, like, we're college kids, we're involved, we want to see this, and I thought that was super cool that BSU put that on for us.
Yeah, it's also interesting because I don't know about you South Park fans out there, but for the premiere of their 20th season, they dove in deep to the Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump election, and they didn't say their actual names, but they referred to Hillary Clinton as a turd sandwich. Oh. And did refer to Donald Trump as a giant douche. But it was really interesting because Hillary Clinton herself in the show looked identical to her, but Donald Trump was being portrayed as Mr. Garrison with a orange face like spray painted on. And so on Twitter, it was all, oh dear, the giant douche or the turd sandwich. And it was funny because that shows how more people are tuned in into South Park than to the presidential debates. And I think that's hilarious. And Donald Trump's running partner in South Park was Caitlyn Jenner. And it was just so far-fetched and so funny that shows how the youth is taking this, how seriously actually everyone is taking this presidential election, which is not serious at all.
Yeah, I think also a big thing is our youth is trying to find like the new funny thing to make about the presidential election, like the newest Twitter meme or the newest prank to pull out or the newest like show on South Park. I remember seeing this one thing on Facebook where it had like Donald Trump, like a full body Donald Trump, and he was literally naked, and they put him in the middle of cities, and they just sat there, and people just came and like made fun of him, like took pictures with it, and it was just a joke. And I think also just attributes and shows and proves our point that this election is not being taken as seriously as it should. And it's very funny, like watching, it's all like the stuff is so funny when you mm-hmm. watch it and you sit there laughing and then you actually realize, oh my God, one of these people is actually going to be our next president. So what are we should probably like pay a little bit more attention to the details and the policies and what we want to have our next 4 years look like. All right. With that, we're going to go on our second break. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This is Where is the Beef with DJ Beefcake and DJ Gaines. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
I've got a feeling, it's not a good feeling. Hurts just enough to keep me awake. And you got your reasons for getting up and leaving, but I've got one or two for you to stay. I'm not going anywhere fast, 'cause you always come right back. too much about it all. When you left me in the dust, gave me just enough to fall. Yeah, you taught me how to win, showed me I'm too young to lose. Yeah, you're the reason I took that last sip. It doesn't go down as smooth. 'Cause you remind me of the California sun. I don't feel used much when I get drunk. And I'm from Washington, so baby, don't forget.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is DJ Beefcake here on Where's the Beef from Tuesdays 2 to 3 to 4. You're here at radio.dominican.edu. And I have here on with me joining, DJ Gaines is still here, and now joining is Captain Quality.
What's
How
going
are
on?
You?
Feeling great. Pleasure to be here.
His show is on Wednesdays 8 to 9. My Two Cents. Great show.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Beefcake did very well on it last week. So.
Yes, we did stop by for a few. That was super fun. All right, so now that I have you here, I just want to ask, me and DJ Captain Quality were talking a little bit about this beforehand, and we were talking about who you're going to vote for. That's a great question. And I said, I think who you're going to vote for says a lot about your character. And he said, what'd you say?
Well, I looked at it as like saying, like, well, I feel like too many people decide, like, they base a lot of people's character off of who they vote for. And predisposing, you know, okay, this person's this way because they're voting for, you know, this candidate. Like, say, if someone were to be voting for Donald Trump, you would have, I'm sure a lot of people would have a predisposed opinion on that person, whether or not they knew them, saying, oh, well, this person's voting for Trump. He's definitely some sort of sexist or some sort of racist or what have you, just because he's voting for Donald Trump. And again, not that I'm a Trump fan or against Trump, and I mean, personally, I'm not going to vote for him. But then again, if I run into someone or a friend of mine who is really into politics is going to vote for Donald Trump, I'm not going to say, oh, like, crap, like, hey, that person's, nah, I've known them for years, but hey, guess it looks like they're a racist because they're voting for Trump, or hey, it looks like they're not, they're feminist because they're voting for Trump. And I feel like now that's the predisposition. That's what's really happening. Like, there's such a, like, based on who you vote for should not define your character. And for too many people now, it's defining your character. They look at it as, hey, like, that person's character is definitely defined on who they vote for. And honestly, I really think it shouldn't be, because I mean, we're a young culture. Like, now a lot of us, especially like at this age, are now starting to vote for the first time, and like we've all been encouraged to go out there and vote. And you gotta vote for someone. You gotta vote for, I mean, at this point, it's Hillary Clinton or it's me, Donald Trump. And for people who are trying to get us to get, you know, people of our age to vote, you know, our youth, our generation, you know, we shouldn't have this negative connotation with who we vote for. Because right now, when we're being told, hey, let's look at this and look at the facts, look at the issues, and pick a candidate based on what we look at. So for us to get, for not us, but like anyone who votes to get, you know, been like in layman's terms, you know, poo-pooed on for for who they vote for is just, it's really just unreal that that's the case right now. It just shouldn't really be a factor.
I think that's a great point. I also think it's really important that us as young people go out there and vote. Another side note, if you haven't voted yet, go to dominican.turbovote.org and you can vote and register to vote right there. But also I think that most, if you ask anybody our age, I don't think they could go into depth or talk about policies or issues in today's debate. I think they could tell
about. They could tell you what, you know, what Twitter feed told them about Donald Trump that day, or you know how Hillary Clinton's face looked after she heard, like, you know, how that same gif of her backing up in her face. Like.
Yeah, there's so many just memes
and it's
out
just like
there.
That's what's, I mean, in today's day and age, it's like, oh, like, I don't know if you brought this up at all earlier, but it's they focus more on like the, like, oh, hey, like Hillary Clinton looked like this today when she was talking, or Donald Trump, you know, his hairpiece was looking like this, so like, that looks really like unprofessional. Oh, it's inappropriate, and in today's modern era of technology and media, and how significant social media plays on today's role of, you know, politics, and honestly with anything, it's just hard to define a candidate based off. You can't define a candidate based off, you know, hey, like Donald Trump's wife was looking like this today, or like, I mean, that's just honestly really like, and the same thing happened 8 years ago with Barack Obama and John McCain. I remember. You know, it was a big issue with Barack Obama being the first, you know, black. I mean, he was on his way to becoming the first black president, you know, 8 years ago, and it was a big deal. And like, again, back then, I was definitely in favor of Barack Obama, but I remember hearing people say, "Oh, like John McCain, you know, ex-prisoner of war, you know, war veteran, war hero," and he definitely has a lot of medical and physical issues now. He's older and he's had a lot of physical problems due to him fighting in war. And you know, they said, oh, hey, like, because of the way his recovery from illness, like, he can't necessarily put on his jacket by himself. You know, his arms don't have that necessarily that full voluntary movement that he tries to do. And they said, yeah, I can't vote for someone who can't put on their own jacket, or I can't vote for someone who can't brush their hair completely. And you look at that like really like you're not going to vote for someone because of an injury that they have sustained, rather whether or not you agree with their policies on issues. It's like the fact whether or not they can put on their jacket due to a medical like issue shouldn't determine whether or not you vote for them. And just it's the world we live in now where it's like the stuff that shouldn't matter is what matters, because that's what's going to get a rise out of people, which is just insane to me.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, having asked you if it defines your character or not, what would you guys say? DJ Gans, I want to ask you first. What would you say about someone who doesn't want to vote or doesn't care? What would you say? Like, how would that define them? Or what would you say that?
I would say that if you want to make a change for the next 4, maybe even 8 years, you should get on voting. This is your chance to make a difference. And I don't think the youth realizes how much of a difference they can make in the voting polls. They can account for over half of the votes, but in the end, still only 10% of the youth will end up voting. And I think it's hard to, stemming from this election, it almost seems like we're at this point where we need to vote for which president sucks less.
Well, that's what they're making it sound like. They're trying to make it sound like, hey, it's a lesser of two evils, just because, oh, they found all this stuff on Hillary Clinton. Oh, it's Hillary Clinton. But like, I mean, if you look at it, like, go back in time 20, 25 years to when, you know, George Bush Sr. was running for president. But if he was doing it in 2016, like, I'm sure there'd be more stuff you could recover about any presidential candidate.
Yeah.
But because of the world we live in now, it's more, you know, it's more in front of us. Like, we have more access to it. It's more
accessible.
That's
a really good point, too. Just, like, everything's out there now. Like, we're in the age of social media where everything we do is going to be there. It's going to be online. It's going to be there forever. It could affect us later in life. And for her, it's definitely
like Hillary Clinton's not the first person, you know, have some sort of negative connotation in their background. Like, there's no chance. Like, she's not the first person to have that. Believe it or not, I'm sure Barack Obama, not like he did anything terrible, but, like, I'm sure, like, maybe he probably didn't have a clean slate. I mean, not every single presidential candidate, I'm sure, did not have a clean slate before being elected into office. But like now, it's like about, hey, like, who can find the most dirt on this candidate, rather than like, hey, like, what's this candidate saying about this issue?
Totally agree. All right, with that, I'm going to ask you guys the next question. Who are you guys voting for? And if you could vote, who would you vote for?
Oh, for me, like, again, going back to the who doesn't vote and who does vote, I personally choose not to vote.
Yeah.
Mainly because I wanted to vote for, I feel like I should vote for a candidate whom I feel like I stand behind 100%, rather than having to choose between candidates I never really supported from the beginning. So a year ago, when there was more candidates for the Republican and Democratic Party, my personal, you know, who I wanted to win, who I was kind of rooting for was Marco Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
And which was kind of, it was not really characteristic for me because my family's always been, you know, very Democratic. My parents, you know, big Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, what have you.
So what drew him, what did like caught your eye with him?
Honestly, it was the way I saw him present himself as like a, like he was a little younger, a little sleeker. And not even that, just the way he presented himself with issues. And I remember watching debates with him and Donald Trump, and he didn't let Trump's antics get to, based on what I saw, didn't let Trump's antics get to him. He still tried to present his own views on policies, which I agreed on, and he didn't let Trump's antics, like Trump would always, I mean, of course, try to bash on him. And I just really, I would look at that and say, hey, like this guy, like I agree with what he's saying. I mean, yes, he's a Republican. I know Republicans have those negative connotations with them, but like I look at this guy and say, hey, like I felt like, hey, like he makes more sense to me than other candidates. You know, let's try to push for that. So I was really in favor of Marco Rubio, despite the fact that, hey, me and my family haven't ever really been huge Republican fans.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not fans, but maybe haven't really voted for Republicans in the past. But based off what I saw with Rubio, I felt like he was more a candidate for me. But then obviously, you know, Trump kind of took over the whole Republican.
From what I'm hearing, it kind of sounds, I don't know if you tell me if I'm wrong, but it kind of sounds like you liked his perception or how he handled himself or like how he presented mm-hmm. himself a little bit, like his policies. I'm sure if you could talk about his policies, like you can't. Okay. So like the, like how he carried himself and how he just presented himself, like the perception of his outside appearance and how he carried himself kind of made you drew him to you, I guess.
I mean, definitely, maybe not so much his outside appearance, like physicality. Like, okay, I'm not going to not vote for him because, like, you know, he looks younger. It's definitely just like it's a quality he has. Like, yeah, he was a little younger. But it's more so the way he carried himself, like
confidence wise.
Exactly, more of his confidence, more of his like internal actions rather than like how he looks. Like I'm not going to choose a candidate based on how he or she looks. Mm-hmm. Like that's just absurd.
Yeah. Or how he responded to Trump, because right now Hillary, how she responds to Trump too is just, oh well, they just point out each other's flaws.
Yeah. Well, of course, yeah. It's he wasn't trying to bring up dirt on Donald Trump. Like he rather than trying to have a pissing contest with Donald Trump, he focused on trying to explain his own issues and his own views on policies and issues rather than going back and forth and falling to like the classic Trump, like what Trump wants is for you to get into that argument with him. Like that's why he's going
to
go at you. That's why he's going to peg you. That's why he's going to do that to you. He like the more you get mad at him, I mean, that's what he wants. You're feeding into what he wants. Just because if he gets a rise out of you, he wins.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy though, that he's resorting to these tactics and yet he's one who's like left standing with Hillary,
mm-hmm.
that he's like in the final two and he's the one who like did, like he didn't talk about balls, like he focused more on the internal stuff, you know what I mean?
So for my opinion on voting, I can actually vote this year because I will be 18 before the election, but so I, back home where I live in Idaho, which is a very Republican state. There's kids there that have been raised in this way where they're Republican no matter what. They drive around lifted trucks with Confederate flags flying. It's ridiculous. And they're so single-minded. They're all about the gun rights, no gays allowed. It's so closed-minded back home that it made me feel like I needed to take a different approach to how I view politics. So for me, if I could choose between Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, I was a fan of the whole Bernie Sanders campaign. I know a lot of the youth were, but like I said earlier, the youth didn't take that opportunity to make him our main candidate for the Democrats. So that right there, I think, is stone cold evidence that the youth really needs to pick it up a notch if they want to make a difference, if they want the right candidate to win. But now we're stuck with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and a lot of now I hear a lot of the kids saying, "Well, I don't want to vote because I don't like either of them." Yeah. And that's, so now, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard when it comes down to that.
I mean, it's easy to talk about. Like, I remember the whole Bernie Sanders movement. It's easy mm-hmm. to talk about it, you know, on Twitter or on Facebook. But like, I know that people who retweet a Bernie Sanders, comment weren't out there voting for him. And not that I was on the Bernie Sanders train per se. You know, I was not. But I mean, I remember hearing everyone talk about, hey, like he's for you, like he's for this.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I remember seeing a lot of like, you know, political cartoons where it shows Bernie Sanders and someone saying, hey, like I thought you were supposed to, you know, change it. And it goes back to him saying, no, like we were supposed to change it. Like,
yeah, Bernie Sanders, a lot of his policies applied and really hit home to college students. And that's what's different between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. That's why they're winning the game. they're out there broadcasting to these older audiences who are the ones out there voting, and that's where I think Bernie Sanders went wrong. Yeah. But I don't know, it's hard to say.
No, I totally agree with you guys. It's definitely hard to pinpoint the youth vote and like where you should put your efforts into that or not. I was talking to my brother the other day, and I was like, well, if you could vote, who would you vote for? Because he's younger than me. And he said, he gave me this metaphor, and he said, would you rather shoot a baby or hang a baby? And I was like, neither. I was like, why would you? That's terrible. And he's like, well, don't throw away your vote. So it's basically, he's saying, would you, like, which is the worst, like, you don't want to kill a baby.
Lesser of two evils.
Exactly. You don't want to kill a baby.
You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, pretty
much.
Yeah, but
what I think us as youth need to like take into account of is that we are like coming into like the prime of our lives, like the beginning of our lives, where like whoever is president in the next 4 years, when we can vote, like we're going to be just like getting out of college, and all these policies are going to be in place that are going to help us or hurt us in starting our lives as adults. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that the youth gets more involved and starts realizing that this is going to affect us. And that's why I think everybody should vote. Would you guys think it's fair to say if you don't vote, you better not complain? Do you think that's a fair statement?
No, of course. Like, I think so for sure, just because I mean, you could have easily made a difference. And again, like me, not saying that I'm a part of the issue, but I definitely am not going to vote. But based on what I'm seeing, I have no issue with Hillary Clinton, you know, becoming president.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of the whole social media and how they perceive her, that she's received a lot of like negative,
yeah,
like, you know, people look at her just negatively and a lot of negative connotation for Hillary Clinton. And I know, just looking at stats and background, you know, history, I think she's more than qualified. She was more than qualified than any other candidate, mm-hmm. you know, Sanders included, you know, a year ago when there was multiple of the candidates for the Democrats and Republicans, I think by far she was the most qualified.
Yeah.
To run this country, especially, you know, with her background, her husband being one of the smartest men, you know, to become one of the smartest men to walk this country,
definitely,
and run this country with Bill Clinton again, who was, you know, looked down upon because of his outside of the office, you know, history, and it's like, yeah, you know, that stuff happens, and not that I'm for, not that I'm pro, you know, adultery and cheating on your wife, like I'm not pro scandal at all, but like. That's one of those situations where, like, hey, like, we're so quick to look away from all the good he did for the country,
yeah.
Based on one, you know, negative thing. Based on, like, you know, the whole Monica Lewinsky incident.
Speaking of him, you bring up a really interesting point that I was reading up on. So, if Hillary were to become our first woman president, that would be awesome, in my opinion.
No, of course.
Would it? Now, typically, if a man got the job, his significant other would be first lady.
First lady. Yeah.
So there was some controversy over what would Bill be called. Would he be called first gentleman, and what should his like, that's weird, right? That's just so different.
Yeah, that's weird.
And like, they were talking about his duties. Would he have the same duties, because typically first lady would have housekeeping duties for the White House and just other
housekeeping. Like, Michelle Obama's done more than just housekeeping.
No, I know
she's played a big role in our country.
I know, but housekeeping, like, I'm saying, like, taking care of like personal matters, I guess, is a better way.
I think so for sure, but I think with the Clintons is that like they don't really have as many personal matters to attend to as, you know, the Obamas did with their whole family moving in. Like, mm-hmm. right now, I mean, Barack Obama first went into office, like his two daughters were very young. Now they're a little bit older, but the Clintons don't really have that issue right now. Like, they're both very matured, seasoned people. They've lived their own lives. So, like, this is their life. Like, they don't really have much else going on. And, like, so, like, they're doing this because this is what they're going to focus on together. So I think Bill's going to play more of a role with Hillary's presidency than any other first lady has with their husband's presidency. I'm not saying that Hillary can't do it, but I definitely think she'd be a fool not to have, you know, husband Bill, who's done wonders for this country.
Husband Bill.
No, of course. Just have him play some sort of role. Or, like, I mean, it would just make no sense to have him there to do nothing.
Yeah.
So you guys think his role should not be, do you think it should be limited to just that? Or do you think he should also have to do other stuff that the past first ladies have done?
I think, I mean, I look at right now, the biggest, one of the more popular first ladies we've ever had, Michelle Obama.
Yeah, definitely.
And how much she's tried to and like how many, like, you know, charities, organizations she started
and
been a part
so
of.
And she's so smart.
She's very, very intelligent women. No, they're both very intelligent people. And that's how most of these, you know, even most of the first ladies who weren't as active, they've all been very, you know, intelligent and well-educated, you know, women, as well as their husbands. And Michelle Obama is a prime example of that. Especially, yes. She took advantage of this whole upswing of social media in a positive way. And I think that, you know, Bill Clinton needs to do his own form of that. And again, like, he's not, you know, as young as Michelle Obama was when she first started. needless to say, but Bill Clinton will definitely do his own. I think he should definitely do what he can to have another positive impact on the country, the same way Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton will do.
I also, just another point, that there has been, I guess you could call it complaining, or just ideas that the presidents in the past have let their wives had too much influence on their presidency. And so people were kind of upset about that. And there was kind of like controversy over whether or not they should have help in there. And now we have it flipped where we have male advice. So how do you guys think that's different?
It goes with the whole gender roles thing, that males should always have the bigger role. So this is going to be really interesting seeing it flipped, because I think a lot of people are going to expect Bill Clinton to do a lot more, but I think the role should stay the same. I think that Bill should have the same responsibilities that first ladies have been doing. And I think this is, if we're going to aim for gender equality, I want to see Hillary Clinton step up and take a Absolutely. Strong role as a female leader.
I don't know. What do you think, Captain Quality?
I mean, I definitely agree with the whole statement of the gender equality and Hillary's going to be the first president, and it definitely, but I think for people to assume that Hillary Clinton's, for people to assume that her being Bill Clinton's husband has no effect on people voting for her, I think that's just completely wrong. Right? That's just negligent. It's ignorant, because I think a lot of voters, and not saying all of them, I'm not poo-pooing on Hillary Clinton at all, because she definitely is, again, like I stated, super qualified, most qualified in my opinion for this presidency.
Really?
But I think she's definitely most qualified of anyone else that was running. But for people to assume that, it was all Hillary, her being Bill Clinton's husband had nothing to do with people voting for her, that's just wrong. I'm sure a big portion of voters definitely saw Hillary Clinton and said, hey, she's Bill Clinton's husband. Bill Clinton did wonders for our country. That definitely plays a role into why people were voting for Hillary Clinton.
You know, DJ, Captain Quality, you have a lot of strong opinions on this whole voting and both of the candidates. So why don't you vote? I think you should. I think you know who you like and why you like them. And I think it's your responsibility to vote. And I think you're well informed on the whole issue.
I'm just a good speaker, I guess.
You're just a good speaker. let's all write in DJ Captain Quality for our next president.
I would imagine 2036, right?
2036. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Make sure you turn into DJ Captain Quality Wednesdays, My Two Cents, 8 to 9, and DJ Gaines Tuesdays, 2 to 3, with Fresh Take. This is DJ Beefcake with Where's the Beef, talking about the presidential election. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in next week. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.